Ah, yes, the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for rolling with us today. Stephen Jones is coming up. That should take place at 11:20. We'll focus specifically on the Eagles and their dumpster fire at 11:40, and we'll all rejoice in that. But right here, we're going to go around some of the games in the NFL, and we'll break it down into two parts. This will be part one. Part two will be at 1:20 today, right after Sham Goes Ham. Let's dive in with Rams. Browns. Rams win this game 20-13, and the Browns offense is sputtering. Freddie Kitchens not getting a lot of love. 7 out of 11 drives for the Browns had just 4 or fewer plays. And if it's not for Odell Beckham Jr. pulling off something huge, some massive big chunk play, their offense has been stalling out. Some people are saying their quarterback is regressing and they're committing penalties all over the place. So I can't help but watch the Browns not answer and live up to the hype and think, man, I'm just so glad to have Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. Because Kellen Moore, at least through the early part of the Cowboys season, he's figured it out. The Browns are still searching.
Did you guys happen to see any of the post-game locker room chatter from Baker or Odell or Freddie Kitchens or any of these guys? Mm-mm. So the tone, Kitchens did the whole routine where he's like, I know what story you guys are going to write. You know, that whole thing where it's like, oh, man.
He said it's on me, right?
Yeah, he did say it's on me. And then Baker went out there and said, I know what story you guys are going to write, and there's not a problem with the play calling. And then Odell specifically said, we believe in Coach Kitchens. So, you know, they play these clips without the questions, so you don't know the context if they're asking about the questions. But one thing that is amazing, Ben, you were talking about whether or not Baker is regressing, and this is very normal for a quarterback to then take a dip after their first year. These were the stats that really stood out to me. This season, in 3 games, when there is, this is targets at least 5 yards away from the nearest defender. So this is a wide open stat, what's considered wide open in the NFL. Baker's completion percentage is 60.5%, which is last in the NFL. He has 4 interceptions throwing to wide open targets, which is last in the NFL. And the wide open percentage, those opportunities are just 11%. So this is when he's passing and he's not under pressure. Baker Mayfield passing with a clean pocket. He's last in the NFL in 3 major categories. So it's very normal. I think all 3 of us, and 4 including Shippy, if I can speak for Shippy,
yeah,
we all believe in Baker Mayfield, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope. Yeah.
I think it's just very normal. Oh, dude. It happens.
3 games ago, I would have taken Baker over Dak so quickly. If you said, hey, there's a hole in the universe and you can just swap quarterbacks with Cleveland if you want, I would say, hell yes. And I know 3 games is just 3 games, but seeing Dak in this Cowboys offense now, very few guys I would rather have than him. Maybe, you know, Mahomes and some other guys. But in terms of young quarterbacks, good God, I think I would take Dak over Baker Mayfield right now. How about you guys?
Baker's bad habits are really bothering me.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's, hey, I get in trouble, let me escape a clean pocket and go out to the right.
Right.
And just because you can do that at Oklahoma, you can't do that here.
And he's going to have to fight through all that stuff and make those mistakes. And he either will learn or he won't.
Yeah, I think he likely will. That offense is bad.
Yeah.
The big play that I think Freddie Kitchens needs to be killed for is, it's unacceptable, is it's 4th and 9 and they're down by 4. Okay. 9
draw
minutes
play
left in the game, and they call a draw play and they got 2 yards.
They also
and
had
he legitimately thought it was 3rd down.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
They also, with 43 seconds left to go, they're at the 4-yard line and they ran 4 straight 5-wide sets.
Yeah. Just, didn't run it one time. And that's it after saying, so I should have ran it one
but
time.
But here's but the other. Just,
the creativity in that offense is not there.
No, it's not there. But the Browns are 1-2. They've lost to the Rams. Now, they had a horrible game first week of the season. Was that against
Titans? Beat them by 30.
Okay. So they've had, but such a long season. Is anybody really going to give up on the Browns already?
No.
Good Lord.
You know what?
There's a long way to go.
In terms of this being the sweetheart season for a blossoming offense, I look at the Rams situation. The Rams failed to score a first half touchdown only 1 time in 2018. It's already happened twice this year. So is the league adjusting to the adjustments? You know, and I'm just thinking, is that going to catch up to Kellen Moore at some point? Or are people going to, now they're going to know tendencies, they're going to have some film, and it's going to make life harder, because it's certainly not hard right now.
No, it's not. But I just, when I watch these plays and I look at them working, I go, oh, that'll work if that adjustment is made, because Like, there's so many things going on to where all Dak has to do is make the right read. And it's KT wrote an article about this. This is the time in a quarterback's ascension when he starts to really understand what he's looking at. Unless he's advanced, like Mahomes is advanced, right? But for most,
it's very easy and open for him at all times.
Yes. But, so yeah. He can make these reads and he has time. And unless there's injuries, he's going to continue to have time because he's got a great offensive line in front of him.
Browns next four games, Ravens, undefeated 49ers, Seahawks, Patriots.
Wow.
That's ain't gonna be easy,
schedule.
Man.
Yeah.
And
yep.
They kill themselves. They have penalties. I don't think they're ready to be a playoff team yet.
Miles Garrett already has 6 sacks, by the way. All right, let's move on.
Badass.
Giants beat the Bucs 32-31. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones was incredible at an 18-point comeback. I heard RJ talking about this morning. Eli Manning in games in which he was trailing by 18 points or more. It happened 44 times in his career. He came back from that deficit 0 times. Danny Dimes has already done it once.
And he had 2 rushing touchdowns yesterday. I love the nickname Danny Dimes. That's obviously great, and he does have a great arm. But that game-winning touchdown, that's a really smart read because it was instantaneous. It's there. I'm crazy not to take it. And then early in the game, I think it was their first touchdown, he ran out right and picked one up. So, hey, that's a great young start for that guy. And again, we're talking about this in the mix. I just love anything that makes Francesa look like an ass.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I know that's the story is Daniel Jones, but, I mean, the Giants should have lost that game. Jameis throws it deep to Mike Evans. They get in field goal range, although their kicker, Matt Gay, their 8th kicker in 8 years, their 5th-round draft pick, again, they drafted another kicker, who had already missed 2 extra points from, where do you kick extra points from now?
That's a 37?
33-yarder now. Yeah, I think they're 33-yarder now, extra points.
Yep.
Let's set him up here for a 34-yarder. Game winner. Nice. Game chip shot. Misses it by inches, and the Bucs lose.
Wait,
and that's
guys see what happened before that missed kick?
Mike Evans on Janoris Jenkins?
No, it's about the delay of game penalty to back him up 5 yards.
Yo, Bruce Arians said that he thought he'd make it easier.
He'd
already missed 2
joking.
Extra points.
He was joking, dude.
I hope so.
He had to have been. That was one of those things, too, where it's like, I'm going to jump on this reporter and try to make him feel small. There's no way that they intentionally decided to kick a 34-yarder instead of a 29-yarder.
They took a knee, too. On their take a knee play is one of those plays where Jameis got the ball, kind of went backwards to get in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
So they lost a grand total of 8 yards on that, plus the penalty.
All right, so Saquon Barkley with a high ankle sprain. He was in a boot, and he was running around trying to celebrate. He was hopping around with his teammates, but interesting little situation for the Giants, but I think it goes to show that there's never any reason to overly panic on your top 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Just give the kid time. He'll figure it out, and there will be highs and lows for Daniel Jones, but he looked like he can play, and so that kind of sucks for Cowboy fans.
We always talk about the game. From what I saw, it looked exactly like what he did in preseason. All right, we always talk about preseason doesn't mean anything. That's the way he played in preseason. Then he just went out and played that way in an NFL game, so a real NFL game. So kudos to that guy.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of you made the Kansas City-Baltimore game your fart butt lock game of the week.
That was me, Ben.
All right, Skin, congratulations. It was a good game. 33-28 was the final. Chiefs beat the Ravens. 33-28 was the final. And it's amazing how you could be without Tyreek Hill, which just looks to be, you know, one of the most dynamic players, if not the most dynamic playmaking deep threats in the league. You're without him while he's injured, no problem. Mecole Hardman, we've talked about him. They drafted him thinking maybe they would lose Tyreek Hill. Such a little speed demon. He was awesome. It really doesn't matter. Whoever they have just fills in and does admirably. Then on the other side, Lamar Jackson, not incredibly accurate in this game, but he did have some super cool highlight moments where he's showing how he can move around with his feet and stuff. But I think he was under 55% completion rate on the day.
He missed there's some deep balls that he missed that, you know, you sit here and go, man, he should have hit those throws. But
he was 51.2% on 43 attempts.
Well, the bottom line is that Ben and I beat Pluckers Dave because Baltimore covered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. At Kansas City, that's all we really care about.
I do want to say this, though, because it ended up being a 5-point game, and I know it was a garbage touchdown at the end to make it to cover that spread or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But early in that game, the Ravens were going for 2 and they were going for it on 4th down.
At 6-0 they were going for 2.
They lost they went for 2 3 times and didn't convert any of them. That's 6 points and they lost by 5. Now, hey, I'm saying this as being the guy who wants to get rid of extra points and thinks you should go for two every time.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting. The Ravens are like, no, we got to keep up with the Chiefs. We're going for two.
Yeah. So. And you really, if they go for one, they're taking 3 points off the board, but maybe they manage the game differently at that point. All right, let's move on to one more game here in this little series. Let's go New England 30, Jets 14. New England scored touchdowns on their first three drives, and it was over.
It was over. New England back to just normal machine-type play. I mean, I think the thing that people really are talking about more than anything is the Bill Belichick-Dana Jacobson interview. That's probably the story of this game.
Right, and I think we have the audio here, Shippy. This is Dana Jacobson and Bill Belichick after the game. And keep in mind, you're not going to be able to see this, but there is a hardcore Belichick stare at the end of this. He is pissed. Okay, we don't have that audio. Okay, basically, she says something to the effect of, and coach, I would be remiss not to ask you about Antonio Brown being released, and I'm so reluctant to ask you this, but professionally, I have to do it. Please allow me this professional courtesy and just respond. How do you, and I'm paraphrasing, and he goes, nope. And then he stared at her like he, as Sean said, he stared a hole through her head. I would say he stared a laser beam through her soul. It was the meanest stare I've ever seen. He had cold black shark eyes, and he looked like he wanted to murder her. And I don't know if there was some arrangement in advance where he's like, I'll do it, but don't ask me about Antonio Brown. And she's like, I have to ask. He needs to know that she has a job to do. She has to ask. It doesn't mean that he can't still be a jerk and answer however he wants. But what he did was rude as hell, the look he gave her.
We're only focused on the Jets.
Look, it's okay. It's like your point, Ben. Answer it however you want. But to act, look, if you're going to bring Antonio Brown onto your team, guess what? You're going to get asked Antonio Brown questions. And that was your decision to bring him in, coach. So if you're going to bring him in, you know you're going to get asked questions about that. So don't act like an ass when it happens.
And I would like to say right now, since I was a guy that wanted Antonio Brown to come to the Cowboys, right now I'm focused on the Dolphins. And I don't have time to answer any questions about that. I'm recapping the Dolphins game.
Don't stare at me like that.
Go to hell.
I have to ask that question.
All right. Coming up next, Stephen Jones joins us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
And unfortunately, have some bad news to report. This is according to Shams Charania, who he's with The Athletic now. But former Carter Cowboy and Texas Tech legend Andre Emmett was murdered this morning. And this, of course, has been a brutal, brutal year for homicides and gun violence in the DFW. Andre Emmett last played in the league in 2004-05 for the Memphis Grizzlies, former early second round pick. But I think people around here really remember him for what he did at Texas Tech. He was still playing overseas as recently as a few months ago, but had a great career at Texas Tech and part of that that Dallas Carter program. So really, really unfortunate news, and apparently had recently just become a father. So sad, sad news as another life taken way too soon. We'll have Stephen Jones on momentarily, but Ben, one of the plays that people were reacting to strongly happened early in the game yesterday, and that is the concussion on the hit from Hearns, the former Dallas Cowboy Hearns. It's a play where the ball was kind of let out there by Rosen. Heath coming in strong, trying to make a play. And there was a lot of reaction, including a lot of immediate reaction of, hey, throw Heath out of the game. It just seemed to be kind of over. What did you think of the play after seeing it several times?
Well, when it first happened, it looked like, a car crash. It looked like, oh my God, old school headhunter just destroyed him. And then in watching the replay, I was immediately reminded of last week when a ball hit Heath in the helmet. Was it week one or week two?
Yeah, it was week two. You're right.
A ball hit him in the helmet, and so he was basically playing the receiver, not playing the ball, and he missed out on a huge interception. He probably got a ton of grief for that watching film, too. So in this case, he was totally playing the ball and was not watching the receiver at all. And so it was a collision that neither one of the guys saw coming. Hearns didn't see it coming. Heath didn't see it coming. They were both looking at the ball and ran into each other. And, you know, I said at the time, this was accidental. You could tell by the way Heath was holding his arms, and he was ready to catch a ball with his body and intercept it and take it the other way. And you know that they're friends, too. There's nothing malicious about that play in any way. It was just
accidental collision.
I think Jeff Heath is on the short list of guys on the Cowboys least likely to ever engage in dirty play. Like, there's nothing about his personality that would ever, ever indicate that that guy's going to be involved in any kind of dirty play whatsoever.
I was talking to my buddy John Machota from the Athletic last night, and he was talking about how eerie it was that that spot was really close to the spot where he got hurt last year in that playoff game, and his last game in that stadium had that brutal knee injury. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Machota was using that thick accent going, crap.
He's like, oh, crap, I got to talk to KT about the game.
It was that place was the same spot on the map.
That's what he said. I also seen that Malik Hooker of the Colts, one of the other besides Jamal Adams' best safeties in the league, he just ripped up his meniscus, so he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh dear,
jeez.
Yeah,
we escaped pretty clean injury wise, right?
Yeah, by all accounts, I haven't heard anything today. We'll talk to Mickey at 12:20. He's usually up on that, and then Stephen Jones will be calling in momentarily, and he'll have a little bit.
He's calling right now, I believe. I'm seeing the hotline bling.
Oh, a phone is ringing.
Shippy can get him on.
So here momentarily, we will talk to Stephen Jones. There's a lot of great things to talk about in that game as well. Don't forget, Sham Goes Ham is a Ben and Skin tradition like no other. It's sort of our masters, and we'll have it at 1 o'clock today. And joining us now on that buyersafety.com hotline is the COO of Dallas Cowboys football, the mighty Stephen Jones. Good morning, Stephen. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Doing real good. How you doing?
Man, we're doing excellent. 3-0 must feel pretty good. So what was your overall assessment of how your team played yesterday? Did they play up to y'all's expectations?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to avoid getting off to a little slow start, which I think we did. I don't think that was the expectation we had there in the first half. I think you got to give Miami some credit. They came out, getting rid of the ball in a hurry and, doing some things there to move the ball against us. And then, we had some good success there early, but then seemed to struggle a little bit there as we headed into half. But I really think we answered the bell there in the second half and, played good in all three phases and, had a really solid second half there. Put the Dolphins away there and obviously got our third win and on to, ready to focus on New Orleans.
Obviously, you guys took care of business and got the win. But of course, the way it goes in the NFL, people are so passionate. Boy, the sky was falling yesterday on social media, rather, and people were freaking out, going, "Well, I don't understand. Why aren't we beating them 70-0?" Obviously, the expectations are super high for your team right now, and you got to love that there's that passion. But it kind of comes with the territory that people overreact a little bit, right?
There's no question. Know everybody's starting to have high expectations for our team. The bar is high. We want to be accountable to that. But at the same time, there's everybody here has the same payroll in our league. And they pay their players too. And I think what everybody fails to remember, I think that New England Miami score was 16-0 going deep into the third quarter. And then New England ended up with two pick sixes and the sky kind of fell for the Dolphins. But, there's. And we know this, there's no easy games in the NFL. And the first time you think you're going to have an easy one, you're going to get a rude awakening. And I love it that our fans have high expectations, but at the same time, we've got to understand as a team, and I think Jason, Coach Garrett, his staff, our team understands that every game is going to be a tough game in the NFL. And, we've got to prepare ourselves for that, and as Jason likes to say, he says we can control what we do the most, and let's do that. And I think our team will continue to stay focused, and hopefully going into New Orleans there, where it's very difficult to play, and of course they didn't skip a beat hardly against the Seahawks, where we also know it's difficult to play and beat a really good Seahawks team there yesterday. So it's going to take everything we have, to compete and try to get a win against the Saints.
Stephen, it's kind of weird to use the term concerns when you're 3-0 and every victory's been a double digit, but if there is one particular area that might be below what we had hoped, it might be that defensive line. Now, you guys have some injuries. You did get some sacks in the second half yesterday, but through these first three games, how is the defensive line performing and how compromised is that unit by injury right now?
Well, I think we just got to continue to get better. I wouldn't use injury as an excuse here. It's great to get Quinn back. As you can see, he got pressures. He got sacked. I think he got a sack yesterday. D-Law got broke the ice there and got him a sack. So I just expect us to improve as we move forward, and I think we will get better. I mean, this unit's learning to play together. You got to give Josh Rosen and the Dolphins some credit. He was getting rid of that ball in a hurry. I think he knew we were going to be trying to get the pressure. They had been taking quite a few sacks in the first two games, and I think Rosen was aware of that, was wanting to avoid the same fight in terms of taking sacks. So got to give him some credit.
Another really solid day by your quarterback. Obviously, again, you get back to those expectations. Well, he didn't have a 158.3 quarterback rating, but another really solid day from Dak. And everybody's wondering at what point this deal is going to come down. And obviously, we're not going to get into the nuance of your contract negotiations. But is it safe to say that everything is just totally on hold, or are there still conversations every couple of days and progress being made?
No, it doesn't really do any good to comment about the negotiations. Everybody knows that we want to make a deal. I know Dak wants a deal. There's just things that have to get worked out when you have a contract of this magnitude. And I just don't have any feel to say when it's going to happen. I just know that we're committed to trying to make it happen, and I know Dak wants a deal.
Steven, I want to get the Xavier Woods download. I want to know how his health is, how quickly he can get back, how good he's been in the first two games, and did you guys really significantly miss him yesterday?
Well, we always miss a great player like Xavier, and I feel like he's got a great sweep, but he's got top DT. He did a great job in there yesterday, and I think really felt his presence, and I thought did an outstanding job in Xavier's absence. But it's good to see him. He's been hurt, dinged up a little bit with a high ankle himself. And but it's great to get him back in there and showed, obviously, that he can play this game at a high level. And great to know that we've got that kind of depth there.
You know, one of the guys we don't hear a lot of talk about working out a deal, just I'm saying in the media, is Byron Jones, but looks to be back to playing the same way he played earlier last year before being injured. And it's got to be a difficult situation for you to try to work out a contract with a guy who is indeed a lockdown corner, doesn't necessarily come up with a lot of interceptions and turnovers, but his guys always seems to be locked down. And a lot of Cowboy fans will look at this going, man, there's just not enough pie. There's not enough pie. Byron Jones is going to be a cap casualty. And obviously that's not necessarily automatically the case, but have you guys started any sort of conversations or negotiations with Byron and his agent?
No, we haven't started yet, and he hadn't approached us. But, obviously Byron's the type of player, as you said, and you mentioned it well, as he's playing corner at a very high level. He's a great individual off the field and really plays the game at a high level on. He's the type of player you want to keep around here. And certainly as we move forward, we're going to continue to massage our cap, our numbers. As we know, there's a CBA in progress, which, will have an impact on, how you manage your cap, over the next 12 to 24 months. So, we'll keep our eye on that. And no means, no way have we discarded having Byron on our team for the long term. So we'll just have to see how that plays out, and knowing that he's the type of player we want to keep on our football team.
Talking to Steven Jones here on the Ben and Skin Show, sometimes you'll hear people say, are you worried that we're showing too much too early and teams are going to get accustomed to what the Cowboys offense is and we shouldn't put these sorts of things on film yet? What would your reaction be to that sort of analysis of what happens early on in a season?
Well, I know this. You're trying to win every football game, and I'm betting on Kellen and that he's got plenty of other wrinkles to come in this offense, and he's just doing a great job. But we also know this isn't anything that you take for granted. It's hard to win in this league. And, you're laying it out there, and you're trying to do everything you can to win each game week to week. And we'll refocus. We'll relook at what New Orleans is doing, and then we'll attack accordingly. But I'm not worried about running out of content for our offense, if you will, in terms of moving forward and the wrinkles that Kellen can bring, as you saw yesterday. I'm very pleased, with all the weapons that we have. You saw Cobb stepping up and making a lot of big plays in Gallup's absence. Devin Smith stepped up big. Pollard, of course, 2 100-yard rushers is a good thing, and you saw his explosiveness and what he can bring to this offense. So I think as we move forward, there's going to be a lot of ways, to attack, and that's important for us.
Yeah, and boy, you guys look smart on the Kellen Moore stuff. And as we watch NFL offenses from all over the league struggle a little bit, I think I speak on behalf of all Cowboy fans. We need you to let Kellen go into that Jones family vault with a big empty suitcase and just come out with that sucker full. We need you to make sure that he's not ever allowed to leave.
Well, we all know what we think of Kellen, and he's just done an outstanding job. He's got a great way about him. He brings that quarterback mentality. His nervous system's just a straight line, and he sits over there and gets the job done. He's really takes it all in, takes in from our players what we should be doing, what's going on out there, and I think does a great job of calling a great game.
Great stuff, Steven. We always appreciate it, man. Have a great week, and we'll catch you later.
Hey, great being on, guys. Thank you.
The Eagles are a dumpster fire, and we are all warming our hands around it and getting out the marshmallows. Couldn't be more happy about this.
It's more what?
And speaking of fire, this is interesting. Let's start with this. All right, last night, as the Eagles lost again, they lost 27-24 to the Lions. Lions undefeated. We know how hurt they are. We know how much we want them to suck, and they're doing it for us. They are sucking. But last night, three people are hospitalized. 10 people were displaced by an overnight fire at an apartment building in West Philly. And the reason we know about this, because there's fires all over the United States last night. But just so happens that we know a lot about this one because there was a gentleman who was involved in helping to save people from this fire. His name is Hakeem Law. He's a former firefighter. He was walking past this building around 2 a.m., and he sees flames shooting from the windows on the second floor. Now, this is after spending his Sunday watching a little NFL football, watching his favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, lose to the Lions. And so check this out. This guy, this is an honest on-air recap from CBS3 in Philly from Hakeem Law, who stopped to help save some human lives.
I seen a guy hanging out the window, screaming at his kids was in there and things like that. So I ran to the back door, see if it was open, and it was. I ran upstairs, and then I was greeted with smoke. I ran back downstairs. By that time, the ladder truck was pulling up. And ironically, one of my old coworkers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up, and was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. Wow. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
Aguilar had two drops yesterday.
And a fumble.
Yeah. So, dude.
And God, that drop he had last week lost him the game.
He also had two touchdowns yesterday.
Think about how deep-seated the hatred is for the Eagles in him and how his frustration is. He's on television. Like, he's doing an interview about being a hero. And all he can think about is how bad the Eagles suck.
We was catching him. Unlike Aguilar.
Oh, man. I'm like Aguilar.
It's so great, too, because you're also equating the value of this baby's life is the same as a pass downfield in a lot of ways.
Jeez. Hey, I'm like Aguilar.
Whatever happens, don't let Aguilar be in a heroic situation because he's going to end up losing lives.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Aguilar was also there. He pulled over and he tried to save a baby. That baby didn't make it. He was unable to catch that baby.
Unlike Aguilar.
That's gold.
That guy's awesome.
That's pretty incredible. This guy's saving lives, and Aguilar was not there, but he takes a shot at Aguilar. So glorious.
He had two touchdowns for him yesterday.
He cost him the game last week.
He did. He had a big fumble yesterday that killed him. They also had their rookie, Miles Sanders, who I loved coming out of college. He had a fumble. He fumbled twice on one drive, but he lost one of them, and it was huge. I saw his fumble stats at college. He fumbled 9 times in just over 300 carries.
Is that right? That's horrible, really high.
A horrible percentage.
But, dude, Aguilar's been dropping passes since they drafted him. He was a first-round, what, at USC?
He was a first-round pick, yeah, Chip Kelly pick.
And he has been dropping passes since he got in the league.
I just want to picture Aguilar getting home after the game. He's like, damn, tough day. That sucks. All right, he's getting settled in, grab a cold beer, flips on the TV. Oh, wow, there's a fire. And he's go, oh, well, this guy's a hero. Incredible. This guy was oh, man.
I like Aguilar.
Why you got to swerve over, you know, I'm just changing a tire over here. You got to swerve over 8 lanes of traffic to run me over?
They're 1-2, Ben. It's getting really dire.
It really
They're
is.
1-2, and they play 4 of their next 5 on the road, and they have a short week at Green Bay.
They are so banged up. They thought about playing Alshon Jeffrey yesterday, and I think they went, you better make sure he's good. Because things are just going to get even harder.
Right.
And, you know, the Lions may be better than people are giving them credit for, but the Eagles, I mean, you go ask them, they're going, where's the creativity on offense? There's questions about that. They're getting no pass rush, and they paid Fletcher Cox all that money, and they've made some moves. So there's lots of concerns in Eagle Land. And you know what else they're doing in Eagle Land? They're complaining about Carson Wentz missing throws.
Okay.
That's the thing that's happening.
If you go look at their schedule, I really think they will be lucky at the midway point, they're 3-5. And if they are 3-5, one of those wins better be at Dallas. It better be at Dallas. You start doing the whole look at your division thing and the situation they're in now. I know it's early. It's 3 weeks, and the Cowboys could end up losing Dak for 5 or 6 weeks. And that would change the dynamic of everything. Obviously, injuries always impact stuff. But for them to get their rash of injuries now with the schedule the way it is, they could dig themselves into a horrific hole if they lose at Green Bay on Thursday night.
So they're at Green Bay, then they have the Jets at home, then they're at the Vikings, at the Cowboys, at the Bills, who are surprising people.
Barnwell's saying that's one of the best defenses in the league.
They are.
They have good. The Bears at home, then the Patriots, then the Seahawks. So, yeah, it's a tough stretch for them. And obviously Alshon Jeffrey's out, DeSean Jackson's out. Yesterday, they lost Jason Peters and Andre Dillard, their tackles during the game. Who else they lost? Dallas Goedert is hampered.
Goedert's been kind of half-assing out there, yeah.
Ronald Darby, they lost him, or cornerback with a hamstring. So they are suffering with lots of injuries. And I was listening to Sean and RJ this morning. We all were. And it's always fun to listen to them on a Cowboy Monday, especially when Philly loses and the Cowboys win. Hmm. And so Roy and Troy went and monitored what was going on Philadelphia radio. And I love the way Sean described Cataldi. Cataldi, what's his first name?
Angelo.
Cataldi. Yeah, Angelo Cataldi. He called him the main meatball. And the main meatball, Angelo Cataldi. Now, we've tried to have him on our show before, but he won't shut up.
He was a real jerk. And in fact, he was so butthurt that we didn't bow down to him and let him just dominate our show. That
like
now,
KT?
Whenever they need the Dallas perspective, they have KT on the show.
Good God. They treat you like a damn gimp, KT. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, I go on and I give them the honesty.
You put on your leather mask and hop out of the box when they tell you to. Let me tell you something. If he hates us, he doesn't hate us anywhere as much as I hate him.
I love so much that there are actual living, breathing cartoon characters, and they do radio in the Northeast.
And I want to be clear, I've never gone on their show. I've never gone on their show and not done a bit.
That's true. It's very true.
We support you.
Yeah. It's a
Trojan horse situation for sure.
Let's go to Cut 34, Shippy. This is from that morning show in Philadelphia, and there was a missed face mask call where Miles Sanders he nearly got his head ripped off. I don't know if y'all saw it. It was a horrible. It should have been called.
Missed it.
But and they didn't call it. He nearly had his head off. I mean, it nearly happened.
It happens.
Listen to the reaction from this station.
This has to be one of the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because Miles Sanders nearly was decapitated.
The Exorcist.
By a man grabbing his face mask and twisting the whole helmet around until he yanked the helmet off.
It was incredible.
The helmet is rolling on the ground, and I'm looking in the corner of the screen for the flag thing to come up. And I can't believe my eyes. They're not calling this?
There was something flew in the air as well. It was his headband that got ripped off his head. If it was yellow, we would have known there's a flag.
The Lions were laughing about it.
It's amazing.
It was insane that they didn't call this.
Okay, was that Meg?
Okay, no.
So, dude, if they had a British fine. Baby on that show, I would listen every day. If they replaced that other guy with a British baby, I would be so into that show.
They got one guy who's like older Philly Roy. Yeah. He kind of sounds like Roy. Yeah. He's just trying to bring some ration. If you listen, he's the one talking.
Hey, Cataldi's all over. I couldn't believe it. I was choking on a meatball, and I told myself, that guy's a bum.
Well, I told you, if you were watching, you would have noticed there was a moment there where...
Mommy.
Please.
Mama.
Please go re-edit their show and just drop that in the whole time.
I had gotten up to eat my fourth hoagie. And there I was watching the game. And there they were blowing it.
When older Roy and Meg are talking, you can hear him in the background going, let me talk. My show. It's so funny. You can't help it. He's in the background. He's making noise or coughing up a meatball.
No, I think that's the sound he makes when he breathes.
Did you play a little bit of that again, Shippy, at the end of that
just clip? Just listen to him breathing in the background.
There's a little bit of lasagna blockage.
This has to be one of the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because Miles Sanders nearly was decapitated.
The Exorcist.
By a man grabbing his face mask and twisting the whole helmet around until he yanked the helmet off.
It was incredible.
The helmet is rolling on the ground. Mom. And I'm looking in the corner of the screen for the flag to come out. And I can't believe my eyes and not calling this.
There was something flew in the air as well. It was his headband that got ripped off his head. If it was yellow, we would have known there's a
flag. The Lions were laughing about it.
It's amazing.
It was insane that they didn't call this.
Mom.
People listen to that.
They're going to have a stupid smart dog come in. He's like, he's giving the sports reports. He's giving a quick Phillies update real quick. It's a smart dog.
And then they have that old pedophile from down the street that chimes in once a week.
We're going to take a linguine break. We'll be right back.
Howard Eskin is Herbert.
Stupid. Such a dumbass show.
God.
Oh, God, I can't take it.
All right.
I quit.
We have more audio. We have more audio from them, right?
We'll do it later.
Well, maybe after Mickey, we'll get to the rest of it. It's so good.
All right.
Let's get back into the Cowboys.
Mommy. Mama.
Coming up next, more Cowboys here on The Fan.
Ma.
Gain presents a tale of longing and long-lasting scent. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Add Gain Scent Beads for an even longer lasting scent.